Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. When they had heard the king, they went their way, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Church celebrates on this day, January 6th, the great feast of the Epiphany of the Lord. And this liturgy of the Epiphany, the celebration of the Epiphany, brings us once again to the great mystery of the Nativity, the birth of Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. And the word Epiphany means manifestation or showing or revealing. It's the great news that God is with us. You know, there's a lot of bad news in the world today, and there has been a lot of bad news for many generations. But in the Epiphany, the good news is proclaimed to be stronger than the bad news. The good news is that God is with us, that He is one with us, that He is one of us in Jesus Christ the Lord. Christ is the Savior of all the world, of all peoples. Now the Magi, or the wise men, they do not come from the Jewish religion. They come from a pagan religion, from a far-off land. And in the Epiphany, we come to learn that Jesus Christ draws them to Himself, and He calls them to become part of His great family, which is the Church. The good news of the Epiphany is that Christ has come to save us. He really has, and He's come to save all people from their sins. Jesus Christ is Lord, Savior of all peoples. And He saves His people from their sins by, for us today, by His grace in the sacraments. And also, He leads people to the full truth about life in His Word, which we encounter today in the Scriptures and in the teaching of the Church. Now, we can have no doubt that the three wise men, or there may have been more than three, we're not exactly sure. We know there were three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But these mysterious people, the Magi, the wise men, were people of great wisdom. They had great insight into many things. Clearly, they knew much about traveling, even traveling large distances across the world. They probably knew things about spirituality and about the life of the soul. And they even had the ability to understand something about stars. But the greatest wisdom of the Magi, the greatest wisdom of the wise men, is none of that. Their greatest wisdom is that they perceive that in Jesus Christ they have what is most important in life. They perceive that in Jesus Christ they have found what is the greatest treasure anyone could have. In Jesus Christ they have found God. This is their great wisdom. This simplicity, this wisdom which says, in Jesus Christ, we have everything. They fell down and worshipped Him. This story of the Epiphany, of the coming of the wise men to honor the Lord Jesus, has some very profound lessons for us. One of the lessons that can help us in this time, that's very obvious to us in this story, is how they approached the child. They approach the Christ child, Jesus Christ, with great awe and wonder. And we want to imitate this awe in the presence of Christ. The wise men were not from the Jewish heritage. They didn't have the exposure to the stories of the Old Testament, to the temple worship, to the Psalms. To them was never handed down the story of God creating Adam and Eve and the original sin and the flood at the time of Noah's Ark and the escape from Egypt and the Exodus. They hadn't received those stories in that heritage. But they perceive that in Jesus Christ, God's greatest work is coming about in this world. And they approach this gift, who is Jesus, with tremendous awe. Now, in the Eucharist of the Catholic Church, we have the very same Jesus that is adored and worshipped by the Magi. He is present. He is really present in the sacrament of the Eucharist. He is there, his body, his blood, his soul, and divinity. We want to have this awe and wonder in his presence. Some years ago, Blessed Pope John Paul the Great would say we need to recover a Eucharistic amazement. You know, the child Jesus didn't make much of a show, but they perceived that in him is the greatest gift, the greatest power in the universe, God's presence. And it's the same in the Eucharist. The Eucharist is not too flashy of a thing. No one really notices it. But in the Eucharist is contained God himself. And so we want this amazement, this awe and wonder before Jesus in the Eucharist, in imitation of the wise men. Another lesson that can help us, that we learn from the wise men, is that they make it their number one priority to know the Lord Jesus, to see him and to follow him. Sometimes today, we can fail in this. We can put other things at our number one priority. So, for us, sometimes God is not number one. There are so many things that try to get that position in our priorities. But the wise men teach us that our number one priority must be, right now, our relationship to the Lord. Some people, sports are more important to them than worshiping the Lord on Sunday. For others, it's entertainment or, you know, some kind of vacation that keeps them away from encountering Christ in the sacraments. For some, it's their political affiliations or their political debts that keep them away from upholding the law of the Lord. Or others, it is popularity that prevents them from making it known to others that they believe in Christ, that they love him and his church. The example of the wise men teaches us that our number one priority, no matter what circumstance we are in our life, is our love for Jesus. Our number one mission is to be devoted to the mystery of the Christ child. We can also see in the wise men that they went through great hardships and made great sacrifices in order to encounter Jesus Christ. They left their own familiar kingdoms and their homeland, places where they were known by many friends and accepted and perhaps even honored by others. And they left all of that and went into a strange land where no one would know them, where their greatness would not be known by most people, where they would have to go into places they did not know, they had no familiarity with, places that could have been very difficult. Who knows what trials they encountered along their journey. They go through great hardships and sacrifices in order to meet the Lord Jesus and to worship him and to love him. Now for us, we may not have to travel such a great distance in order to encounter the Lord, but sometimes we have to travel a great distance in our heart. It's almost like a spiritual distance or a great chasm over which we have to leap within our hearts in our relationship to God. Sometimes, for example, we have to go against our own will in order to do the will of the Lord. For example, think of this. Think about prayer. Now, prayer is one of the means by which God puts many blessings into our life. Prayer is powerful. And prayer really does change everything in our life. We should be people of prayer. Christians are supposed to be people of prayer. But sometimes we feel almost lazy to pray. We feel that we don't want to pray. But think about the journey of the Magi and make that journey in your heart. Go from that place where you don't want to change what you're doing into the place of prayer. Make that great journey in your heart and begin to pray. Pray the rosary. And also go to Mass You know, sometimes people feel like they don't want to go to Mass. But when we go to Mass, that's like a journey in our heart to make that decision to encounter Jesus. We also could take, for example, when we face temptation. You know, sometimes people, when they face various temptations, it could be temptation to any kind of a sin, they start to think to themselves, well, this is the way God made me, therefore I must carry out this temptation. But the wise men teach us something different. They teach us that the will of God is number one. Even if we have to go against our inclination at any moment, the will of God is number one. Living in a way pleasing to the Lord is what God wants of us, and really is what is best for us and for others. Take also, for example, the need to forgive others. Jesus tells us in the Gospel, we must forgive others. It's God's will that we forgive others. In fact, we tell God in the Our Father to forgive us only to the degree that we forgive others. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Very difficult to forgive others. Very often we don't want to forgive others. We want to have a grudge. We want to constantly rehearse over and over in our minds what someone did to us years ago. But forgiveness is like a great journey of the heart. It's when we have to go from the familiar territory of holding a grudge against someone to that unfamiliar territory of forgiving them. And when we do that, we open our hearts to the gift of divine mercy. The Magi follow the path of true wisdom, and this leads them to the greatest gift that anyone could ever have. It's the gift of encountering God Himself, of encountering the Lord Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man. Imagine what it must have been like for them. They saw Jesus. They saw Jesus, and they saw His Mother Mary and Saint Joseph and all the other people that were adoring the Christ child. Who knows what difficulties they faced on their journey back to their homeland. Perhaps they faced persecution. Maybe they may have been mocked by others for the great journey they had undertaken to see Jesus. They could have suffered and died. And yet, we can imagine that they were happy. They were satisfied with what life could bring to them because they saw the Lord Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, from then on, they were changed. And so can we be changed when we encounter Christ in the sacraments, in prayer, and in His Word. Let us follow the way of true wisdom, the way of the Magi, and always seek to know the Lord Jesus, to welcome Him into our life often, in going to Mass, and to praying, and to fulfilling His will in the Gospel. In this way, we will experience the great joy of a living encounter with Jesus, the great joy of knowing that God is with us. And we shall bring this joy into our present circumstances, and this joy will change everything. God bless you.